Welcome to Sentimental Simmer, a podcast made for emotionally attached simmers and storytellers with wild imaginations. I'm your host, Gloria, and I run Yellow Llama Co., a planner shop made to help simmers play with purpose. Every week, I talk all about things sim life planning, storytelling, and memory keeping. I'll also brainstorm new ways to obsess over our pixel people, whether they be in The Sims or another life sim game. And now let's get into it. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to manage a large legacy family and keep from being overwhelmed. In the last episode, we found a partner for our founder, and in the meantime, they've grown from a two-person household to eight. That can happen quicker than you think in The Sims. Growing a big legacy family is the dream until it isn't. It's not easy managing a big household. I get cold sweats already when my Sims have pets, let alone when I got a bunch of kids to take care of and make sure the parents are still making ends meet. I have a family that I'm currently playing in The Sims 4, where I was grateful that burning belly disease took the dad and one of the sons, because the 7-sim household was getting a bit too much. I like to play with aging on because it makes it feel like every moment counts, but the FOMO starts to get strong once I can only focus on so many Sims in that time. It can really become overwhelming when you have so many Sims doing so many things, and it's just really hard to keep track of them all, which is also something I like to do. I like to keep memories and keep tabs on every Sim, but when you have such a large household, it really can become overwhelming. Sure, there tends to be a main character, you know, usually the heir or the founder, but I also get attached to the spares. So how can you manage a large legacy family and keep from being overwhelmed? I think it can help if you play family members in rotation. So for example, you could focus on mom for a couple of days, and then you could focus on kid one on a couple of days later, and then kid two. So you're basically always cycling through the Sims you're focusing on, but you let the other Sims live in full autonomy. So they're taking care of themselves, they're going to school, they're going to work and all that good stuff, but you're actually actively playing only one Sim. That way you can focus fully on whatever goals they might have. For example, going back to that family I'm playing in Sims 4, where, you know, they lost a couple to burning belly disease. I have a teenage girl. She used to be a werewolf, not anymore, because that was also like too much work because she kept getting angry and kept like going all haywire. So and going into her rage, but she is normal now. And she just got a boyfriend, so, you know, I like to focus on her building her relationship and being good at high school as well. And then we've got her brother, who also is in a relationship with somebody out of town, and so that's also something to manage because he always has to travel. And then we've got a smaller kid who is she's a Girl Scout. And so she's busy with that and working on her skills and being adventurous. And then we have the mom who's a bit scandalous and just now, not too long ago, married her, a guy she used to have an affair with, but then her husband died to burning belly disease, paved the way free so that she can move on to that affair. And now they have a newborn infant that she has to take care of. So that's also a lot of work. And then obviously I want to focus on the infant, make sure that they're, you know, growing well, skilling up and all that stuff. So, and the dad also maybe has some hobbies and some skills. So it can get quite a lot. Somehow this family managed to still grow even more and become even more overwhelming than before the brain belly disease got them. Focusing for a day or two only on one of them at a time, that really helps. You might also find that you run out of space quickly, the quicker your family grows. You can maximize space with bunk beds or Murphy beds. That's a great way to utilize space that's still small because your family, your founder is probably going to move into a starter home or anything that they can afford. Maybe you're playing a legacy challenge where they have to just move into an empty lot. So you don't really start out with much. But if the family is growing, you have more Sims that need shelter, then yeah, it can start getting tough. You can really try to use the space you have by fitting in more things with smaller items or items that are just made for multiple Sims. You can, of course, build onto the home, or if, you know, you're not much of a builder, don't be afraid to move, you know, into a new home or, you know, replace the home on the same lot. But careful not to go too big too soon. The new home could actually end up being overwhelming in its own right. My legacy family started actually in Brindleton Bay with this little cottage. I kept building on it a little bit here and there to add rooms for kids, but it really was too small at some point, so they moved into a large cottage estate in Henford-on-Bagley. And this place was huge. It had 2 floors. It had even a separate quarter where the teen lived and a huge garden and a little, a shed for the cow. It was great. Like, it had chickens and everything. It was huge. But I ended up always having to go on a manhunt to find my Sims because it just had like too many nooks and crannies, and it was also two stories. It was charming at first, but essentially it wasn't too functional. So I had to move out. They're actually renting out the home to other Sims. I moved them to a new second story home in Willow Creek. It was still kind of overwhelming because I had to now furnish this new home. But I was able to furnish it in my own way, and it had a very traditional, easy to navigate layout, which helped. Sometimes the most fancy, charming builds aren't the easiest ones to really work with when you're playing the game. Also, one tip, if you can, try to keep your home one story. It'll just help you keep that overview and always know where your Sims are at any point in time. This could also mean less landscaping space for outdoor activities, but I think you can always find space for like a playground, which is, you know, important for the kids. Speaking of kids, they need care. And I feel like next to pets, children can be the most strenuous part of having a large household. Like, even if you have, I don't know, five Sims and they're all adults and young adults, that can still be easier than having kids, because kids tend to need a little bit more help, especially if you get infants. And so you can just skip it altogether and send them to boarding school, for example. In The Sims 3, I know for sure you can do that. I don't know if you can do that in The Sims 4, perhaps with mods. You could also cap your families at 1 to 2 kids and just say, oh, you know what, categorically, we're not going to have more than 2 kids, because that's just overwhelming. That'll also keep further generations also from being too overwhelming, because the more kids you have, that means even more offspring. It's kind of like it grows exponentially. Whereas if you say, okay, we're going to just only do 1 kid each generation, then yeah, it just keeps the overview more there. And you could also help carry the load by keeping any aunties and uncles or grandmas in the household so that they can also help out with taking care of infants and taking care of children. This is also a reason why maybe you shouldn't move out your elders right when they, you know, grow old. Or you can have them, you know, be nearby in a neighborhood home so that they can also, you know, carry some slack. You could also hire a full-time nanny with the Better Nanny mod from Little Miss Sam. I've done this countless times because sometimes I just can't be bothered with taking care of the kids. So I just hire the nanny, and then you can even have her be there full time, like a live-in nanny, and that's just fantastic. Another thing I recommend is just cutting out the tedium. Like, I know, like, ever since The Sims 2, you know, the whole grind thing has not been the focus anymore of the game. It's more about the narrative and the storytelling and the memories you make. And so while it can be fun to play for the grind if, you know, you just like going for achievements and things like that, if you do care more about the storytelling aspect of the game, just try cutting some corners and try, you know, removing some of the boring bits so that you can focus on, you know, the actual lives of your Sims. So I think at a minimum, playing with full autonomy on is a must. And you can also avoid micromanaging. So instead of sending your Sims to the toilet or getting a full night's rest, you can cheat. I definitely recommend the UI Cheats Extension mod by Wirbazoo, where you can just, you know, drag up motives on the fly. So you might not always want to cheat things up, because I think for realism, it is actually nice if the Sim actually goes to sleep and sleeps for the full night. And so you could actually cheat for that. Like, if we're micromanaging, we can micromanage for realism. So you could maybe make the sleep motive go down so they actually go to bed, and then make things go up if you just don't want to bother going to the toilet or feeding them and things like that. You could also hire a maid or a butler so that they don't have to bother with cleaning their space. You know, because it's already stressful enough if they have to take care of the kids, but if they also have to take care of a household, that can be a lot. You could also take advantage of satisfaction rewards. If you don't want to go the cheating route and you do want to kind of like at least earn the right to not go to the bathroom or not have to go to sleep, there are rewards that slow the decay of needs. So there's a bladder of steel reward, instant hygiene, speed cleaner, night owl. So those can be helpful, and it'll help you maybe have to micromanage less, but at the same time feel like you've earned those bonuses. Just now introduced with the For Rent pack, you can also play multiple families in rotation on one single lot, which I think is a game changer. So you could have a multi-generational home lot, so a residential rental, where you have multiple families on one lot, basically. So you can also, alternatively, if you don't have the expansion pack, you can keep all Sims from the family in one neighborhood, so it's easier to visit each other because, you know, it's not just one big household that can be difficult to manage somewhere down the line. It's going to be the entire family itself, like the legacy you have. For example, if you didn't stop at one kid, if you didn't have that limitation, you'll have, in generation two, let's say, maybe three family units that stem from that same legacy, and one of them is where your main character, your heir, is, but the others are their siblings that have their own families and their own rights, and so you're going to have to also manage that. And so I think it's useful if you have them all in the same lot, or at least in this, in vicinity of each other, so you have like an overview, because I have a save with like a farmer family, and they moved into this really great custom world called Meadow Glen, and they filled it up pretty quickly, and yeah, it was just, I just felt like I was missing out because I couldn't play with them all, and they had so many things going on in each in their own right. And so I feel like that would have been great also to have in Sims 3, the option to have a multi-generational lot where you can have multiple units and just have the whole, like the entire family there, because you can do that, of course, with the family home in itself, but you can only have up to 8 Sims in there, and obviously the family's going to grow. So growing a big family, it's easy in The Sims, but taking care of them is another story. But I think it's all part of the fun. You can adjust your playstyle to accommodate for the growing household by playing in rotation, you know, or thanks to the For Rent expansion pack, you can keep the family close and units all in the same lot. And you can also design the house to accommodate for the growing family by maximizing your space. You can either with mods or with in-game support have, you know, NPCs help your family out with childcare or keeping the place clean. And you could also just use cheats to cut out the tedium and just make things easier on yourself so that you can focus on what you really care about, and that is, you know, moving your Sims life forward, which you'll have more time for that if you just, you know, cut out the boring bits with some cheats or with some satisfaction rewards. If you have more ideas or want to just brainstorm together on how otherwise you can manage a big family, I very much welcome you to join our cozy community on Heartbeat called the Yellow Llama Club, where we love to share each other's stories and inspiration on how to play the game. In the next episode, we're going to be talking about what to do with the spares of your legacy family. Until then, happy simming!